Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
We are starting the jump challenge.
Uh-oh.
How people are filling the void, right? And I would like to see how y'all are filling your hoops void at home. Rachel Nichols in Los Angeles. Our insider Brian Windhorst joins us from Nebraska. 2008 Finals MVP Paul Pierce joins us from his home in Los Angeles. And you just saw some fan videos to start the show, guys. We've been asking folks to tweet us with the hashtag #TheJumpChallenge to show us how they are filling their hoops void at home. And the best ones make the show. So everyone, do some trick shots in your kitchen. Make the jump, and you can brag to all your friends. Paul, you said you were going to come up with one of these videos. I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm still putting it together. It has something to do with my golf club and a ball, so I'll figure it out.
I love it. All right, coming up, Tom Thibodeau has been linked to the New York Knicks coaching job, but will he actually be a good fit there? We will ask Paul, who played under Tibbs in Boston. First, though, did you know that every week ESPN is flashing back to some of the most significant games in NBA Finals history, and tonight is a Kobe night. Taking a look at the last two titles that he won. We're going to start with Game 5 in 2009. That's Kobe's Lakers taking on the Orlando Magic-era Dwight Howard crew at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then brace yourself, Paul. I'm sorry about this, but it's Game 7 in 2010. Kobe and the Lakers taking on, yes, Paul KG and the rest of the Celtics. Well, Paul, we thought this would be a good chance to break down Kobe's titles and do a little what if, right? Look and see what had happened if history had fallen a little differently. So, Paul, I'm going to have today be the best day of your life. What if you had won that Game 7 in 2010 that we're replaying tonight? What if, in fact, Kobe had never won the 2009 title either? If KG never got hurt that year, or, say, LeBron's Cavs, right, that won, I think, 66 games that year, had been a little better in the playoffs. What if Kobe had never won in 2009 or 2010 without Shaq? How, Paul, do you think his legacy would be different?
Oh, it would have been a huge difference. I think we would have questioned, could Kobe be the best player on a championship team? I mean, we know he played with the most dominant player, but that was the question. Could he win without Shaq? And that's what he wanted to prove to himself. And that's the reason, you know, Shaq was shipped out to Miami and other destinations, because Kobe had something. He had a chip on his shoulder. He wanted to show everybody that he could be that guy. And he went out there and proved it. I mean, That 3 year stretch from 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, he was the best player in the league, even though he only won one MVP during that time. And if he had to beat us in 2008, we'll be having GOAT discussions about him. But we got in the way, I guess.
You know, he was just so obsessed with winning another championship to prove, because Shaq had gotten his ring in Miami. I think he would have done anything. Now, he was pacified in his trade demand when they brought in Pau Gasol. But if the Celtics had taken them down 2 years in a row, had KG not gotten hurt, had Perk not gotten hurt, and the Celtics were celebrating back-to-back championships, why isn't Kobe revisit maybe getting traded again? Because that was one of the motivating factor. And he, as Paul said, I agree, he was the best player in the league at that point. LeBron was just ascending to that spot. And I think, knowing the way Kobe was and his drive, if it wasn't going to get done with the Lakers, he'd have gone somewhere else. And good thing for the history of the Lakers, and good thing for Kobe, he did get those two titles. And those Lakers teams that won were great teams. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and look, you're going to see those games tonight. It's so interesting, especially as you watch the first one on the lineup, his face, his emotions when he finally gets that first title without Shaq. But I want to go the other way in the what-if game, and Brian Paul alluded to it. I'm taking away Paul's 2008 title. Sorry, Paul. What if Kobe and the Lakers had not only won the games we're showing tonight, but had won the 2008 finals also? Kobe had been able to pull off what we know had always been a goal of his, right? Winning as many titles as Michael Jordan. Brian, how would that have affected his legacy?
Well, it's possible that that team would have gone on a run because, you know, they were awesome the next 2 years. I can't look away from the two 20-point leads they blew on their home court to the Celtics in that series. One of the games when Mr. Pierce had 38 points in L.A., an all-time classic game. But that team in 2009 and 2010 was loaded. Lamar Odom was at the top of his game. Yes. Pau Gasol was at a Hall of Fame level. That team absolutely could have won three in a row, but the Celtics were the better team, and they deserved it. And I'm not just saying that because Paul Pierce is sitting here right now. I have no problems objecting to Paul's face. But that Laker team was a spectacular team, and they could, under other circumstances, have won three in a row or more.
Yeah, they had. You know, the good thing about those teams, if they beat us in 08, they had really good chemistry, man. The way they moved the ball, they ran the triangle to perfection, and you know, but the thing is, they went up against a tough defense. We had one of the all-time defenses, but man, if they win, then no way. But see, I look at it the other way. What if KG would have been healthy? What if Perk didn't get hurt? I could be sitting on three championships. Then what?
Well, Paul, as I said, I don't think you should. I want everyone else in the country to watch tonight. And, Paul, you should watch the first maybe 3 or 4 hours of the broadcast, but turn off when you get to that fourth quarter of Game 7 in 2010.
No.
And the rest of you, I just have two words for you. Ron Artest, look for our guy there because he was sensational in that game as well. All right, Paul, we're not going to torture you with what if anymore. Coming up instead, we're going to count down to the last dance. You know that's happening on Sunday. We'll discuss how those 90s Bulls teams are going to be remembered. Paul's right. That documentary is incredible. First, though, right now it's time for our triple pack of distant replays. Those are all from this date in NBA history.
Shaq, 20 feet to the length of the goal. He shoots from there and makes it. I'm leaving. He dribbled. James, change direction, dribble. Listen to the crowd. I believe that's the first time I've ever seen that from Shaq.
Shaq is just having fun now.
On the wing, finds Jefferson in the corner. Starts past Carroll. Dunk! Wow. Dunked it so hard he hit Emeka in the nose.
Won't use the timeout. 5 seconds left. Joe Johnson with 4. Johnson with 2. Drives in. Puts it up. Gets the bounce at the gun. And the Jazz win game 1. ISO Joe.
Quinn Snyder did not take the timeout. Was able to move the ball up the floor. He had the matchup he wanted.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
So going into 1997-98, the Bulls have won 5 championships. There's drama that summer as to whether they're even going to come back, although I think most of us who are from Chicago and call Chicago home knew somehow they'd be back. I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf, the majority owner, would have to leave town if they didn't come back.
You can't argue with championship after championship after championship. They were still the best team in the NBA. And you have Scottie Pippen, an incredibly talented athlete, very skilled scorer. His mental sharpness and his court awareness and his basketball savvy made him the greatest number two player ever. Dennis Rodman was the defensive presence, the rebounder, someone who on a team with big egos didn't need the ball. And he never ran out of energy. That was the thing.
I mean, at that point, Michael Jordan's already the ultimate sports alpha male. I mean, the only comparisons that I can recall being apt were to Babe Ruth and Muhammad Ali. That's it. That's the list. There's nobody else on it.
Michael, obviously, in the wake of this incredible celebration, there'll be some very difficult business decisions.
We're entitled to defend what we have until we lose it. If we lose it, then you look at it and you say, okay, let's change. Let's just go through a rebuilding. No one's guaranteeing rebuilding is going to be 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years. Cubs have been rebuilding for 42 years.
Episodes 1 and 2 of The Last Dance debut Sunday night right here on ESPN. Paul Pierce, you were a teenager for most of the 90s. How will you remember the Bulls dynasty?
Man, this was the greatest thing that happened in sports because you had the most exciting player, the best player on the best team. And it was at the end of the Laker dynasty, and I had to find someone to cheer for. And how could you not cheer for the Chicago Bulls? I had 3 Michael Jordan posters on my room when I was in high school. I had a pair of Michael Jordans. I wore the wristband. I chewed the gum. I mean, I emulated everything Mike did. I mean, I couldn't wait for them to come on Sunday afternoons, man. It was truly special.
Boy, by the way, was that one of the greatest promos ever? I mean, like, I just wanted to keep watching it,
even though
we're doing this show.
That did give me chills.
The thing about it is I look back on that, and I was a teenager during that time. I don't remember the Bulls ever being challenged in all of those finals.
No.
I mean, I know that they got pressed a little bit by Phoenix and had to go out to Phoenix to finish it. I know they got pressed a little bit by Utah. I know they were behind the Lakers in their first one, but I just remember dominance. I know there's these famous shots, the Paxson shot, the Kerr shot, that won these games, but they were never in danger in my mind. And I just remember, you know, when Michael Jordan hit all those three-pointers and against the Blazers, it was just like, this guy can do everything. Like they back off of him and he just kills them. And that was what was so amazing, is that not only did they win all those titles, they dominated all of those finals. Especially as we look at today, when we've had some dominant teams in this last decade, they couldn't touch that level of dominance. And that's an overriding memory for me.
Yeah, I went to college in Chicago with Jay Adande, who you just saw in that clip. And to earn extra money, I would string for newspapers, which means they would pay you like, I want to admit, it was probably like $20 to go and write a story on the local team, except the local team where I was the Chicago Bulls. So it's crazy. I'm 19 years old, 20 years old, going to practice, and you're seeing video of the Berto Center, which is a legendary practice facility of this team. And I got to tell you guys, the media was in this sort of glassed-off area to the side of the practice court that you're seeing right now, and they would have this giant window shade over the window so that you couldn't see most of the practice. And then it was time for the media to come in at the end of practice. They would lift up the shade, and it was like a lifting of the curtain, and you would see the end of these scrimmages that I have to tell you, in the moment, especially for me being a wide-eyed 19-year-old, this was the greatest show on earth. This was better than any game I could watch on my TV, was watching these guys going at it. And Paul, I guess that's one of my questions for you. Just the scrimmages between the guys you know were on that team. I mean, how many great teams could we have gotten just from breaking up that super team?
From the Chicago team? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, we already seen what Pippen can do by himself after Michael left. I mean, he was an all-star game MVP. He was dominant after Michael left. That squad. And my favorite team probably was the last team, the 98 championship team with Rodman, and that big three right there is the all-time big three. Could you just imagine the anticipation of just getting a ticket to watch a practice or the anticipation to watch a Chicago game? Because I remember when they would play the Lakers, just how it was hard to even get a ticket, because I got in a lot of many Laker games when I grew up. And when they came to town, that was a hard ticket to find.
Well, we got to get you talking to Byron. He knew how to sneak into the building, so we got to get you some tips on that. All right, coming up, I'm going to ask Paul if his former coach, Tom Thibodeau, is a good fit for the Knicks, where his name has been linked. First, though, in honor of what was supposed to be Vince Carter's last game tonight, guys, our Professor Bob Murr cooked up some Vince Carter's top five below-the-rim plays. Check this out.
Oh.
Michael Stewart with a swat on Rain Man. Vince Carter in the open floor. Vince Carter with that 12-foot finger roll that falls.
And this home crowd here in Cleveland dying to get excited about some kind of spectacular play by Vince Carter. And he gave him a little taste there.
The elevation and the finger roll.
Raptors on a 7-0 run here. Carter turns the corner. Baseline left. What a reverse! Canada hang time in the Valley of the Sun.
Oh, my. Antonio Davis, great screen. He blocked up the defense. Vince a little hang time. Nice job with the English on the reverse side.
Deflected by Richardson.
Good hands by Carter. Then he goes baseline.
An incredibly difficult angle. And Vince Carter somehow puts in the circus shot.
The Vinsanity, good hands. And then the swirling dervish off the glass by Carter.
To Jelani McCoy. Alston for Carter. Oh, my! Well, people pay good money to see that. Yeah. And folks on Sunshine, the whole viewer, they saw it for free. So.
Well, that was a special play right there by a very special athlete who's going to hang and create a shot.
They've given up six unanswered points to the Raptors.
Both teams on for D. Three more so for the Lakers. Carter twisting in midair.
That's it. That should not be allowed. Even the fans here have to appreciate that.
The Lakers fans on their feet. Where did that come from?
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
In the ultimate game of horse, basketball stars come together.
Launches straightaway three and buries it!
To compete,
my goodness,
earn bragging rights, and be crowned champions.
Oh my! Wow!
With all the winnings donated to charity, the ESPN Horse Challenge, tomorrow at 9 on ESPN.
So much fun. All right, after the Jeff, watch SportsCenter, 5 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Then at midnight after Lakers-Celtics from the 2010 Finals, it's another fresh edition of SportsCenter. So check it out. All right, guys, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Imani Bates became the first sophomore ever to win Gatorade Player of the Year yesterday. Bates told Yahoo Sports, quote, "If I can go straight to the league, then that's what I'm going to do." So, Brian, let's do the math. He'll be graduating high school in 2022. Do you think by then we will have gotten rid of one and done and guys can go straight from high school back into the NBA like it used to be?
It's possible. I know that you'd like a harder and fast answer. It's possible. There's going to be changes to the draft as we figure out this summer, and there's a wiggle room that they could change the rules a little bit. I would say, though, if I had to bet on it, it would be unlikely. There's so many things to negotiate about this, and it's complicated. He may have to look at his options overseas or even in the G League. He should start thinking about that.
Man, when you talk about a player that wins National Player of the Year as a sophomore, that's unheard of. And we've had some generational talents come out of high school. LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant have never even come close to that. This guy is a generational talent. I think some rules will have to bend or change by the time this guy's a senior or coming out of school, because he's going to be something special. I've had a chance to watch this kid, and he's special.
Look, it feels like there's been momentum toward getting rid of one and done, but as Brian says, there's a lot of bureaucracy. I heard 2021 for a while, but then a lot of the negotiations haven't happened yet. And of course, this stoppage due to coronavirus is going to shift everything. So we'll have to see on that. All right, let's move over to the Knicks, because according to SNY, quote, several coaches believe that if interim coach Mike Miller is not retained, Knicks president Leon Rose has his eye on, yes, Tom Thibodeau becoming the Knicks. Wait for it. 14th coach in 20 seasons, guys. Paul, you played under Tibbs in Boston. Do you think he would be a good fit for the Knicks?
I mean, Tibbs is a great coach, and I take nothing away from Tibbs. But I think with this young group of talent that's in the NBA today, I'm not sure if that's a great fit. Who I would like to see in that position is somebody like Ty Lue or even Jason Kidd. You know, I think they're younger. You know, they're not as far removed from being in the NBA. I think they understand this generation. You know, a lot of players that Tib left bad taste in their mouth when they left from playing with him. I mean, you know, we've heard a lot of things about Tibbs practicing on game day and running these kids into the ground. So, but if he can change his ways, you know, he's a great coach. But, you know, we'll have to see. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. We know that.
Tibbs is never changing his ways. This, I think, we can say for sure. When Leon Rose started the basketball representation business at CAA a decade or so ago, 15 years, whatever it was, Tom Thibodeau was one of their key early clients. And that's, their connection goes very, very deep. And that's why he's expected to be at the top of the list when they move on to that. The issue is, if you're going to go with Tom Thibodeau as coach, you're going to have to retrofit your entire roster to get Tom Thibodeau style players on there. He's not the type of guy who can come in and coach, you know, 12 guys that you give him. And we learned that in Minnesota when he couldn't get guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins to play the style that he needed, so much so that he had to go out and trade for Jimmy Butler and sign Taj Gibson and do stuff like that. So if you commit to Tibbs, it's a huge commitment across your whole roster.
And we saw how it worked out with Tibbs and Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. All right, it's time to jump around. We're going to hit other topics from around the sports world because, guys, Florida has deemed the WWE a, quote, essential business. Of course they have. It's allowed them to tape their shows as long as they are closed to the general public. Essential services in Florida now include, quote, employees at professional sports and media productions with a national audience. Now, infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci talked this morning about no fans in the stands for resuming sports. Does that mean that this is an avenue and that we could quarantine in Florida, Brian?
Well, look, real talk here. There's a reason why all these commissioners are working with the president, because you're going to need political support to open sports again, no matter what you need. And so having this in Florida is a gateway to other opportunities, whether it's the NBA or anybody else. And that's an important aspect as we go forward, no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I also believe that sports in general is essential. I mean, a lot of people can't live without it. I mean, we wake up on our daily lives. It brings us all together. It gives us something to talk about. I mean,
you can go another month with Netflix. People are literally dying out there.
That's why are we all salivating right now for this Bulls documentary tomorrow? Because we can't live without this stuff. Why are we watching these throwback games of Kobe tonight? Because we can't live without it. It's definitely an essential business.
Well, if they
can
do it.
It's a simple business to watch throwback games of Paul Pierce, for sure.
Well, that's certainly true. If they can do it in a safe way, of course, everyone is eager for a return to sports. And I guess we'll see. The idea that the WWE is an essential business is, well, that's one of the more Florida things I've ever heard of. But maybe it will be a pathway to figuring out a safe way to get sports back, which, as Paul says, we do need that. All right, guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We're here every day, 3 o'clock.
Please bring back basketball. See you then. Need it.